At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the 6 mistakes that you are making in your fantasy basketball drafts and how to fix them. Let's go!
Jordan open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We're talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life! He's responsible!
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter or X at Ball Boys Fantasy. And like we said at the top of the show, guys, a bit of a different one. Don't see this one around the feed too much. So I wanted to go through and talk about some mistakes or common mistakes that a lot of people make when drafting their fantasy basketball teams. Now, I tried to make this list as broad as possible. So mistakes that maybe new players are making, but also some mistakes that some veterans like myself still make when going into their fantasy basketball drafts. And I've got 6 of them, and I'm going to go into each one specifically as we go along, guys. So before we get started, make sure, remember, if you are enjoying the fantasy basketball content, although there is a little bit less this preseason, please give a thumbs up to this video, like and subscribe, and drop down in the comments any other topics of fantasy basketball ideas, things you want to be discussed. We will be doing all the classic, you know, busts and sleepers and first, second round pairings, which I know some people like, some people don't like, but I like to do. Mock drafts are definitely coming. So, but any other ideas that you want to throw down there, put them in the comment section below. I'm always open to new ideas. But without, you know, waffling on anymore, let's get started into the first mistake that you are making in your fantasy basketball drafts. And it is not knowing your settings and not knowing your settings back to front. Now, this is something that I think myself, a lot of other fantasy basketball analysts talk about all of the time, maybe too much, but it still is the number one thing that will make you prepared for your fantasy basketball league and your draft. We are talking about things like, is this an 8 category or a 9 category leagues? Is it things like weekly changes versus daily changes leagues? How much do you play? How many players are on your bench? How big is your starting roster? Do you have 10 starters and 4 bench? Do you have 8 starters and 5 bench? Those things make a difference in your draft. Head-to-head versus roto. How deep are your rosters? Are you drafting the standard 13? Do you have a deeper bench? Are you drafting 16 or 18 players? That's going to make a difference in terms of how you draft. Small things like, is it in each category league or a most category league? Because that will definitely affect the viability of punting multiple categories or punting in general. So understanding those, knowing when your playoff schedule is. We talk a lot about playoff schedule when it comes to those first round picks, like a Luka. Is his 2-game week in your championship round, the second round, the first round, is it in there at all? Do you have a roto league and playoff schedule doesn't mean anything to you? And other things like, yeah, like we said before, how many starters versus how many bench. If you're in an auction league, what's your budget? How many players are in your league? These things can make a massive, massive difference to how you're drafting. And it seems simple, but go into the nitty-gritty. Understand every little part of your league because those things can make a huge difference. For example, having a bench size, or knowing if it's, for example, knowing if it's a weekly or a daily changes leagues changes the way you draft dramatically. Because if I'm drafting in a weekly changes leagues, I can stash more players on my bench. I can do things like handcuffs and it won't affect my team too much because I don't need to use that bench roster spot every single week where you do on a daily changes leagues. In a daily changes leagues, all your roster spots are important. You don't have the ability to stash someone there. For example, in the industry pickup league, we had weekly sort of limits on how many games we could play in terms of every single position. So we had a little bit more flexibility to stash some players on our bench. Knowing that and knowing how that would affect your league is very important in terms of knowing how you're going to approach the draft, specifically the back end of that draft, but also, you know, things like handcuffs become more viable in a strategy like that, because then, again, you can sit them on the bench and they won't hurt you as much as they would in a regular daily changes league. So knowing those things back to front is still, I believe, the most important thing when it comes to drafting in fantasy basketball. The first thing I always do is if I'm joining a league or I've just recently joined a league is go to the settings, go to the league rules, and know that back to front. And if you're a commissioner out there as well, make sure you get those rules and those things out there. Excuse me. Make sure you get those rules set in stone with enough time before your draft. There's nothing, it's a big nitpick of mine. If you're changing settings like last minute or something like that, I think that's a bit of poor form. Like if you, for example, are a 12-team league and all of a sudden, oh, I've got two mates that want to join in the night of the draft, and you're okay, all right, now it's suddenly a 14-team league, that can massively change someone's strategy and approach to the draft. And I think those things need to be set in stone with enough time for people to prepare before the draft, so those things don't throw a curveball for someone who is prepared, and all those sort of things. So that is definitely something that I think, number one, is the biggest mistake that people make, is they don't know their settings back to front and all the nitty-gritty details. Sometimes a bit of an obvious one, but also sometimes not.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
But two mistakes that people are making is following must-haves and do not drafts. Now, more than likely, I will put out a video that says must drafts and do not drafts because people watch them, they get views, they get clicks. But within that video, I will likely also say, do not take the title of these videos literally. A lot of the times, I will talk in those videos about ranges, where players should be going, where they have potential to ruin your draft, where they have potential to win your draft. Again, that's a little bit hyperbole as well. So when we're saying must drafts and do not drafts, do not take that literally. Every single player has their price. Every single player has the point at which they are too risky or they are too, you know, there is no risk and it's only upside. So when you're looking at a player, and there will be every single season some hot names, some players that are going really high and really talked up on a lot of other fantasy basketball shows and podcasts, and you know they're in all the sleeper builds, they're in all these must-draft videos, but doesn't mean you have to climb over everyone else to get these players and you've eliminated all the value. And this mistake is made by a lot of players who have been playing for a long time. We always want to have that kind of psychology of picking the guy that everyone else wants and or you know, avoiding the player that we sort of joke about being the guy that's going to ruin your draft. But at, like I said, every player has their point in which they are value. So not having a list of players that you're never going to draft again is really important. Not having a list of guys that I need to get this player in my team, and then you're putting the shutters on and only hyper-focusing on them. Also, when we're talking about this one, especially for the must-have guys, assess a player's downside as much as their upside, I think, is a sort of subcategory in this one here. And this is something that I have been guilty of in the past. So, for example, the lessons for me of Jordan Poole last year, I was very excited and keen for what he could do moving to the Wizards outside of Golden State. But I probably didn't assess the downside of him sucking as much as I could have, the upside of him going as well as I thought he could have. So understanding that where you select a player, especially in those early rounds, the early mid rounds, you just have simply far more room to disappoint than you do to exceed that that ranking spot. Because obviously when you're drafting early, there's only so much higher you can climb. And it is difficult to get into those first and second round values because they're so competitive. There's so many good players up there. So when you're taking a guy in that sort of round 3, 4, 5 area of a draft, most of the time they have more downside than they do upside. So being aware of that type of risk that you're taking, and especially if it's a player that hasn't reached that value before and you're projecting or predicting that they're going to get there, a lot of the time that comes with more risk than it does upside. So probably assessing how much risk versus reward there is in a player at that position, and not putting yourself in a situation where you have to get this guy because everyone's talking about them, everyone's saying that they're going to be the next breakout, and especially if they haven't done it before, you should head into that situation with a little bit of skepticism. On the flip side, the do not draft players are players that potentially, if everyone's saying do not draft them, they might have the most amount of value in your leagues, because if everyone leaves them late, and we've all watched the same podcasts and videos, then they might eventually get to a point where they present a lot of value and make sense for your team. So a good example might be Joel Embiid or a Kawhi Leonard this year. A lot of people will approach those players with a lot of skepticism, and rightfully so. There is a lot of risk there, but at some point, the upside of them is going to be far more valuable than the risk that they present for a lot of your teams. So don't be married to these kind of videos. Be careful when consuming these videos and not taking them too literally. And again, when I put out my version of these, I will re-stress this. But no player is a must draft. No player is a do not draft at all, unless they literally just not on a team. Because at some point, every player has their price, and so don't take that title too literally. Now, the next one is punting too hard or punting too many categories. And I am a big advocate for punting in fantasy basketball, but I think if you're not intentionally doing it from the outset, if you go in and you punt free throws, you draft Giannis, and then you grab a bunch of big men and you go, oh, okay, my threes are bad, or I'm going to punt threes. Oh, and my scoring's bad, so I'm going to punt points. Oh, and I don't care about turnovers anyway, normally, so I'm going to punt turnovers as well. You really start to narrow yourself into a corner and put yourself in a position where you need to draft perfectly in order to be successful. I'm coming more and more around about what sometimes people refer to as soft punts, or just weighting certain categories less than others, because I think it allows you to maintain a level of flexibility throughout the season that hard punting potentially does not. So there is a strategy where you can go in and punt four categories from the outset, and I've seen people be successful with it. However, if you're not super experienced or not super intentional about it, I would not recommend doing this. I would probably recommend punting one or two categories at the most if you're not as experienced, because especially if you go into a league where there's lots of players or lots of other teams that are punting as well, you're going to come up to different strengths and weaknesses on a week-to-week basis. So if you go too hard at a punt and negate a lot of other categories, when you go up against someone who has maybe a similar build, or a team that has not gone as aggressive with their punt but a similar kind of strategy, then they're going to get you in all those categories that you've gone hard at ignoring. And then they're at a bit of an advantage when coming up against your team. And like I said, it just leaves you with less flexibility throughout the season because it's going to be so hard to recover if you need to pivot mid-season. If you look at your league and you sort of go, okay, actually, I'm middle of the pack in threes, but the top half of the pack is so far ahead of me compared to the bottom half of the pack, it's all pretty tight. You're going to find that very difficult to pivot and make trades and do things compared to if you just looked after it a little bit and not completely ignored it. I think that's something that you can be aware of. Now, to do this, what you also need to do is be aware of, one, categorical scarcity, and two, which categories are, I guess, lumped together and found together in most parts. So, for example, like I said, when we're punting free throws, you're going to need to, if you're not going to want to intentionally punt threes or intentionally punt points or assists or those guard categories, you're going to have to look after those categories, and especially early, considering things like categorical scarcity, because those points are going to be hard to come by. Those assists are going to be very hard to come by later in the draft. So I've talked about this before in how to build a fantasy basketball team and the art of building fantasy basketball team. Again, I'll leave it. A link to that video up in the comments or up in the screen above here, which I think is a very valuable watch for everyone, or rewatch if you haven't watched it in the past 12 months. It was the last year's video. But we talk about going after the categories that aren't naturally easy to find in your build. And I think that's very important to understand and wrap your head around. Not just going for the guy who's quote-unquote ranked the highest when you click that punt on in certain websites like Basketball Monster, or I think they do it over at Elite Fantasy as well, and other sites, many other sites. So make sure you're aware of the categories that link together and are easy to find when you punt certain things, and then going after the ones that are more unique and harder to find in your build and taking care of that first while you have the ability to do so before those types of categories and stats go off the board. The next mistake that a lot of people make when drafting in fantasy basketball is either drafting too safe or drafting too risky. At some point, you're going to have to take a risk. Now, that doesn't mean you draft Joel Embiid at pick 5 and then you follow it up by drafting Kawhi Leonard at round 2 and then you go LaMelo Ball in round 3 and then Zion at round 4 and you do all these risky players because they have upside. That doesn't make sense because you're exposing yourself to too much risk, and any one or two of those things go wrong and you're kaput. But you shouldn't also eliminate those players from your calculations. A little bit before, in terms of that must-haves and do-not-drafts, every player has their price. So if you see someone like Embiid falling into the second round because everyone's scared to draft him, well, then maybe it's time to take that risk, but then balance that with other selections and maybe go a little bit safer in players that you perceive to be safe. Or say, for example, you're punting threes and free throws, and you get to the sixth round and Zion Williamson is still there and he's considered to be a risky player, well then that's a play that could make your draft. It could be a very a huge win. A couple years ago, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was getting slept on because people were worried about him being shut down in the fantasy playoffs, and he was going in rounds 4, 5, 6 in drafts. And if you were able to take that risk at that time and he presented first round value, that went a long way to winning your fantasy basketball league. So every player has their price, and don't be afraid to take a risk, but just watch also how many risks you're willing to take and at what point in the draft is the risk actually going to really hurt your team. So for example, at the end of the draft, take fucking heaps of risks, because if it doesn't work out, you just drop them and you move on to the next guy. At the start of the draft, don't take as many risks, because if they don't work out, they're injured or something goes wrong, you've got much further to fall, and it's going to hurt your team a lot more than it will in the later points of the draft. So make sure you weigh up and balance out being safe and being risky at certain points, and every selection you make has an impact on the future selections that you're going to make as well. So yeah, don't be afraid to go a little bit risky at times, but don't overdo it as well. The next one is being too rigid in your strategy when it comes to drafting. A lot of people will do a lot of research, watch a lot of videos and podcasts, and get their players. In this round, I'm going to target this guy. In this round, I'm targeting this guy. I'm going to punt this, and I'm going to go to this guy. Drafts are like snowflakes. They're all individual. Your mates are watching different things. You're watching different things. And you get into that draft room and maybe everyone's drinking a few beers and things like that. And shit goes wild, especially in something like an auction draft. It's very hard to replicate a draft on a mock draft or in a video or something like that. So be prepared for shit to go crazy. And when things do go crazy and things unexpected things happen, you might need to pivot. You might find that you're going into a draft and you wanted to, you know, you were drafting someone like, I don't know, maybe you were drafting someone like a Trae Young or something like that. And you were dead set going, okay, I'm going to punt blocks with my build. But every other team, except for the Wemby team and the Anthony Davis team, is punting blocks. So all of these big guys that are value are being slept on and they're going one or two rounds later than they have in other mock drafts that you've watched. Well, then pivot. Grab some of those guys that get blocks, and maybe you're not going to be the first or second team in blocks, but you're going to be up there and you're going to beat all these other teams, and you won't need to even invest too much into that category because everyone else is doing it. Play your league mates. Don't play the rankings. Make sure that you're able to be pivoting into certain things that you're noticing and trends in your drafts, because like I said, every draft is unique. Not every two drafts are the same. So if you are pigeonholing yourself into, I'm going to get this at this point and this and that point and this and that point, you might miss opportunities for yourself to get value. You might miss opportunities for yourself to get a one up on the other players in your league, because maybe they're doing the mistake that I'm telling you not to do, and they're pigeonholing themselves into certain things. And if we go back to that other mistake where people are punting too hard, this is an example. If you punt too hard accidentally, you're going to put yourself in this rigid position where you have to only look for these certain categories. Whereas if you're a little bit more flexible, open to pivoting your strategy midway through the draft, after the first few rounds, you might find yourself in a better position than you would if you kept going with the strategy that you were hard and fast sort of set on at the start or before your draft. So always be open to new things coming your way and new strategies being able to be followed. And the last mistake that a lot of people are making, and this is a very common one, analysts do it as well, but being too married to projections or rankings. Now, two different things, right? So rankings, last year's rankings, what happened in the years gone past. Projections, what we think are going to happen this upcoming season. Now, if you're using a website like Basketball Monster, maybe you subscribe there and you have the projections, or you've got other websites. I think Elite Fantasy do these sort of things, and there's other websites out there. I've put out projections in the past. No one is going to be 100% correct. No one. Nobody is going to be 100% correct. And projections and rankings are very much relative to what's happening around them, especially category leagues. If you're in a category league and everybody in the NBA all of a sudden shoots their free throw percentage 5% worse, it won't happen, but say, for example, it does, then that will relatively change the strength of certain players. It'll make the players that shoot free throw percentage at a higher volume more valuable. It'll make the guys who shoot it at a poor free throw percentage less of a negative in that category. So no one is going to get everything correct. And so if you are completely married to the projections that someone's put out and you're drafting someone at that spot, you might be leaving yourself with a lot of risk that if it's off or if something else is off, you have a potential to lose a lot of value. Similarly, if you're going off last year's rankings, a lot of things will change. They might be in a different situation. They might be a year older. There might be new players coming into their team. They might have an injury that they're carrying or something like that. So just because someone was the fifth-ranked player in totals last season does not mean that they're going to be the fifth-ranked player in totals this season, whether or not it's a per-game drop or they miss a bunch of time. So be aware that last year was last year. It's a new season. We have to try and project what's going to happen. You can use last year to inform this year. Of course, we all do that. But just because something happened then doesn't mean it's going to happen now. So that's the ranking side of things. And if you're going off projections, understand that if one thing changes, everything changes when it comes to a projection model. And the later you get into a draft, those projections are so hit and miss that the difference between the 80th ranked player and the 120th ranked player, there really isn't much. So if you like a player and you think that they're going to have a better opportunity, but they're projected 120th versus someone who's projected 90th, understand that that difference might be very small. So you might just back yourself in and go for that guy there. The later that that happens, the more that that's something that I endorse. The earlier on, like we said before, you've got further to fall. You've got further to go back. So it's a little bit less sensible to do something like that. But again, if you're picking someone who's never been at the points that you've been before and they're projected to be there, understand that there's some risk associated with that. Now, it might work out, but you don't want to cut off all that upside. So if someone on a website has got someone projected at 30, it doesn't mean, but their ADP is like 55, it doesn't mean you have to go early. You want to get them as late as you possibly can to build in as much value. And if someone else goes early, then fine. You haven't missed out on that player because they've cut off some of the value that was potentially there and they've taken on more risk than you were willing to take on to. So you're just going to move on to the next guy. So understand that those projections are always relative and always no one's going to get them 100% right. I'm not going to get them 100% right. Because when we do that, when we get things wrong, it changes everything because they're always bound by each other when we're talking categories and category scarcity. And, you know, you add a player like Victor Wembanyama into a league where he comes in and blocks 3.5 shots. So that's going to change the relative value of blocks for other players. It just simply is because that category has been upended by someone who's just gone straight to the top that wasn't there before. So these kind of things can change all the time. And that is something we should always take into account when assessing projections and the ranking or the value of a player. Remember, we're always trying to build teams. We're always trying to build strengths and weaknesses that make sense for the players that we pick. And again, I'm going to harp on building a team is always better. Building a right team, building a team that fits and makes sense is always better, in my opinion, than building a team that you have built on last year's rankings or the projections on a certain site if they cut into each other's weaknesses and strengths and it doesn't make sense and it's a bit jumbled and you don't have a clear identity. I think that's a worse way to go than building a team that makes sense. And maybe you've got one or two weak categories, but you've got six or seven really strong categories that you're going to be very confident in a week-to-week, especially in a head-to-head category league. That's going to make sense as well. So, and same goes for points leagues as well. Like points leagues, the difference in those middle rounds between certain players being the 40th ranked player in points and the 60th ranked player, it's like 2 or 3 points, man. It's actually not that big of a deal. So if you think someone's safer or has a higher upside or whatever the case may be, it's okay to jump ahead and grab those kind of guys. Don't be married to those rankings on the websites or the projections on other sites when making your pick, because I think you're going to find yourself cutting the ceiling off what your team could potentially be in the season. That is my my list there. There's a lot of other mistakes, but I wanted to keep it short and concise to 6 main ones that I see a lot of people make. The coming videos, we're going to be going into some drafting punt guides over the next week or so. I don't think I'm going to be doing a specific guide on each category, but more so I'm going to be going into my favorite punt builds this season and most seasons and ranking those and talking about just a couple of general things with them. We're going to have some more mock drafts coming your way, and then we're going to be starting to get into things like categorical scarcity, and then talking about breakout players, regression players, pairings, sleepers, busts, all those kind of good things maybe 2 or 3 weeks from now. So again, drop down in the comment section anything you'd like to see, as well as anything that you think you want to see more of, you want me to go more in detail with certain points that I'm making. But until then, guys, make sure, again, give this video a big thumbs up, share it with your mates, give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and I'll see you guys for the punting guides next video. Catch us later. Bye.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.